Welcome back, Tom Bell here, and on today's episode, I'm chatting with Anna Pierce, an ultra runner, and she is super humble. She achieves so much with running and, you know, has been doing 100K races. She's been able to run through pregnancy. There is really just so much gold that she shares during this catch-up. I know you're going to love this one, so let's get into it.
On today's show, we welcome Anna Pierce, an ultra runner and physio from Bristol in the UK. Welcome to the show, Anna.
Cool. Thanks, Tom. Hiya.
I'm really looking forward to chatting and catching up and you know, even just with a little chat that we had off air before starting, there's really just so much gold to come and so much wisdom that you've got to share. So I really, really am looking forward to having our chat today. But from you know, the journey that you've been on and you really seem to be, you know, an adventurer at heart, which I just love, really strikes a chord with me. But for people that are listening to this and haven't yet come across you on your journey, could you tell us a bit about your endurance life?
Yeah, sure. That's you're being incredibly kind with your comments. Endurance life, predominantly a runner. Started road running again in about 2012. I decided to, with a friend back in Cape Town, South Africa, decided to train for and run a first half marathon together. Only having done like 10K road races and things like that, and running, I guess, kind of cross country athletics in school up to university. So kind of that's when the bug bit in terms of road running, and then did quite a few half marathons, did quite a few, quite a lot of them over those 2 years, and then decided to give a marathon a go in 2014, this one being in February 2014 in Cape Town. It's called the Cape Town Peninsula Marathon, and it runs, I guess, from the city, and it runs all along the coast to a place called Simonstown, which is a naval base in Cape Town. It's a pretty flat and non-exciting route, but a really good one for beginners. And it was, for me, to do the marathon, it was just to tick a box. I honestly thought I was going to do one and hope that I could finish one. And tick it off and go, yep, I've completed a marathon. I feel like that's, you know, but I didn't ever expect to do more than one, to be honest. But as any other marathon runner will tell you, I guess something struck a chord. I loved both the physical aspect of it, but also just the mental challenge and just, just the finish line, the reward you feel afterwards is unlike anything I'd experienced. So I did another one later that year. And then that's where the story kind of went from there. I just kept kind of doing them. We moved over, my husband and myself moved over to Australia in 2015. And it was there that I did my first ultra marathon in the Adelaide Hills. It's a 56-kilometer ultra marathon that's called the Yorubilla Ultra Trail. And just a really stunning stretch of trail. Really well supported. It was a great first ultra to do in terms of like an introductory race. And yeah, I just loved it from start to finish. And shortly after that, about a month later, I did a 100-kilometer run. A month later called the Heisen 105. So it's 105 kilometers, again, on a really particular trail called the Heisen Trail, which I think is like over 1,000 kilometers in South Australia. But obviously, this was just a portion of it. And yeah, the bug just bit, and hence I just fell in love with long distance running, really, and that's where it's at the moment.
Yeah, wow, that's quite a cool story. And because, like, even in that short space of time, I mean, I know that it's probably feels like forever since 2012 now, yeah. Considering that, you know, 2020 is just around the corner, but you've done like quite a few races. I mean, you know, and I'm sort of just going somewhat by your Instagram blurb, but, yeah. You know, 15 marathons, 8 50Ks and 300K races in that short space of time. Like, it's a fair bit of running races.
It's a bit. I think there's people out there that do far more. But it's blessing, I guess. Yeah, just lots of gratitude that I get to run these distances. I do a few a year. Didn't do so many recently. Was very pregnant, but just always grateful to be able to do these long distance runs, really.
Yeah, and you, you know, we were chatting, you know, prior to coming on, and we talked a little bit about the pregnancy thing and running through that, and that actually was very inspiring to a lot of people that you found within your circle. So it'd be interesting to know. Tell us a bit about what that was like. And obviously, you know, this is first bub, and you know, then yeah. All of a sudden you're this runner, and running's core to who you are. Look, I imagine being pregnant is not always conducive to running because of all the aches and pains and everything else that can come with creating a human being. Yeah. So that's kind of cool. But could you tell us a little bit about what that was like?
Yeah, so I think found out we were pregnant, we were trying for a baby, and I think the initial thing that was difficult was, you know, I identify as a runner, but, you know, strongly wanted to become a mum as well. And so, you know, the initial part of finding out that I was pregnant, it was kind of like, what now? It seems the information out there at the moment, I think it's getting better, is that it's very gray, you know, kind of area. There's not a lot out there. The initial things that I, you know, found on Dr. Google were not very encouraging. There was a lot of negativity around exercising and pregnancy and running. I was very lucky that I had a great midwife team and a great GP, and they both encouraged to continue exercising in pregnancy. They were both for it. They were, you know, both pro exercise. I think the fundamental thing I learned from the beginning was that with running pregnant is to stick to what your body knows. And if you were an ultra distance runner before, that's something your body's accustomed to and knows. The kind of the golden rule is not to try anything new in pregnancy. So don't, you know, also take up karate or rock climbing or something. My body doesn't know anything, you know, is not used to. And so, yes, continue doing what you were doing before, but obviously moderate it and see how your body goes. The thing I learned with pregnancy was that I just had to treat each week as it came. The first 20 weeks for me were just 24 hours of extreme nausea and getting sick. So I say week by week, but I was taking it day by day. There were some days where a run would make me feel better. And then there was other days that I would plan my run around like a local park. So I'd have some trees or bushes to duck off into, and I'd pull the pin on the run and walk home because I couldn't. So the second half of the pregnancy was where things turned for me and I could run a lot better. I wasn't experiencing the 24-hour nausea, and I really started enjoying my running again. And just moderated it all the time. I just had to constantly listen to my body, adapt each week as it came. Around like between 25 and 28 weeks was where I felt most uncomfortable. It's kind of where my body, biomechanically, I felt the most changes in and around my pelvis. And so instead of running, I took up either walking or gentle kind of stationary cycling or swimming. So just kept moving and exercising because it made me feel good, but not necessarily always running. It just depended how my body was going, really.
Yeah, see, that's really intriguing. Like I, you know, I just, yeah, hats off to you, because, you know, the idea of feeling sick or carrying around an whole extra human being, you know, and the body changes and everything else, like to be able to do that. And then, you know, again, with the second half of the pregnancy, if what you're saying is that was then even easier, it's like, you know, in my head, I'm like, oh no, this will be like a gradual, like easier at the start, hard at the finish. So, you know, there must be a lot of other mums, and you know, you have mentioned that other mums certainly reached out, like with there not being much information on that thing, which is interesting, isn't it, that there isn't much information out there. Like, I mean, you know, all the births and all the people that love running and you know, yet, like, it seems odd that there isn't a whole lot more information about it. But you've become a little bit of a shining light for other mums out there who don't want to sort of stop their running and keep doing things.
Yeah. I mean, going back and saying it was easy, it definitely wasn't easy towards the end. It was more like a waddle jog kind of thing for me. And it was just about getting out there and just doing, you know, just a few Ks, but it wasn't all running, to be honest, towards the end. But yeah, I think it is a bit strange that there's not more into it. There's, you know, considering how many runners are female, considering how many runners in their life, you know, female runners in their lifetime will become mums. I think that's why I was actually concerned and worried initially. I wasn't sure what I was allowed to do, what I wasn't allowed to do, what kind of training could I do, what kind of running could I do. I think it's just about finding the right healthcare team to support you through that. And my midwives were really lovely. If I ever had a question, no question was too silly. If I was concerned about something, I'd call them first. So whether it was about, you know, deciding to whether to do a 5K race, but, you know, participate, but not obviously compete, whether that's a good idea to do it, you know, 35 weeks. And so it was just, you know, going back and forth between them and having their support and their advice constantly, that's what I listened to at the end of the day, as opposed to, sadly, sometimes you would come across, you know, social media, and a little bit of negativity. I didn't experience any personally, but I know some other pregnant runners who would get really negative messages, you know, insulting them for what they're doing and their decisions and the fact that they were exercising through being pregnant, which is just, it blows my mind, because I think the one thing I learned through pregnancy and running and still doing some exercise was that a woman's body is so capable. I was absolutely in awe that I could grow a human being and still carry on exercising and doing it in a very healthy way. And my daughter arrived one day early, you know, weighing a very generous weight, you know, and so, you know, I guess people speaking negatively about exercising during pregnancy, that, yeah, a lot stands for the fact that women are able to run up to term and having beautiful, healthy babies. Something, you know, we must be doing something right.
Yeah. And I mean, like, who knows, like, you know, if you go way back, way, way back when we, you know, were, like, living off the land or whatever else, it's like, you know, like if a lady was pregnant and there's a tiger coming out or something, you know, like, I'd imagine that she probably would have legged it back in the day, yeah, to, you know, because yeah, mom's going to protect
exactly
herself
and bum. And put up in bed, yes, for 20 weeks, you know, or yeah, half her pregnancy, whatever it is. That, yeah, she didn't exactly put her feet up. I think the one thing that's interesting, and it's not going to sound great if I don't know the name of the study, but there was a study recently looking at pregnant runners, and they specifically looked at pregnant runners. I think I really should know my facts about this, but they looked over 1,000 runners that participated in park runs, and they looked at specifically obviously pregnant ones, and whether them running through their pregnancy had any effect on low birth weight, early labor, or anything like that. And there was no correlation at all. In fact, they said that all, you know, the people that they surveyed and did the study with, they couldn't correlate that, you know, running in pregnancy did anything. All women, or the majority of women, carried to term and had healthy weight babies and good labors. So, yeah, interesting to read that. It was a 2017 study that they recently did.
Yeah, right. And so you've had your daughter now, and you're continuing to run. Like, you know, you look fitter than ever. It looks like you're out there doing a heap. And so I suppose, you know, any tips from your perspective from a mum that's, you know, able to fit it all in? Because, you know, not only running through pregnancy, like, that's inspiring in itself. And obviously you have been inspiring others, but then to have Bub and then, you know, kind of just be straight back on the horse and out there running again, you know, have you found that having I suppose running through pregnancy, you would have had to have worked out some time management, but having a young child is challenging. And so, yeah, any time management tips as to how you manage to fit everything in?
I'm definitely not a pro. I definitely, even now, I'm winging it every day and trying to listen to my gut as a new mum. But I think the crucial thing initially after having my daughter was taking a good amount of time off. I think as a physio, undergrad-wise, we touch on women's health. We don't obviously specialize in it. It's something that you do post-grad if you want to go into the field as a women's health pelvic floor specialist. You need more training in that. But I knew just the amount of, not damage, but the amount of recovery your body and specifically your pelvic floor needs afterwards is crucial and is a lot longer than I think women maybe perceive, sadly. I think I'm seeing a lot on social media that a lot of women after having a baby, they're waiting for that 6-week checkup that is typically done by a GP. Obviously, it changes globally and different, you know, between countries how it goes. But for me, it was a 6-week checkup with a GP here in the UK, and they kind of give you the green light for exercise. But I think the key thing there is that it's light exercise. And so for me, I knew 6 weeks was not enough time for my body to recover at all. The most important thing for me to do after having my bub was to go to a women's health pelvic floor specialist to work alongside her, to get assessed by her and in terms of my pelvic floor, see where I'm at, and for her to guide me when I'm ready for some kind of high impact exercise. And so I only actually started running 13 weeks. And when I say running, it's walk, jog intervals. I started that when I was 13 weeks postpartum, so over 3 months after I had my baby, just because my body wasn't ready. It wasn't recovered yet, and especially my pelvic floor. And so I went from there and just gradually increased mileage over time, carried on seeing the women's health physio, and was working closely with her and doing the rehab that she guided me through. And then it was a huge juggling act because I was breastfeeding my daughter, and that's, you know, a whole nother complexity to it, because you juggle your time around looking after baby, but, you know, feeding and with breastfeeding and with even just after having your bub, you still have the hormone relax and running through your body as well. When you're breastfeeding, this lasts longer in your body and continues at a lower level than pregnancy, but it's still there. And that's something also to consider, because that affects your connective tissue in your body. It was the thing in pregnancy that prepared your body and your ligaments for laxity for childbirth, but it's something that continues in your body afterwards. So that's also something to keep in mind, because your body doesn't feel the same for a very long time. I think for me, my running and postpartum kind of came together about 6 or 7 months afterwards, after I had my daughter. That's when I started feeling more me in terms of my body physically. But it was definitely a very slow and gradual process. And yeah, my biggest tip to any woman that reaches out, or anybody that's thinking about returning to running after having a baby, is really, if you can, if you've got access to it, because I know it's not a very common specialty. And here within Bristol, I think there was only 2 women's health physios. But if you can, go see one from 6 weeks onwards and let them guide you on when to return to running, because the risk of going back too early and the potential injuries you can sustain far outweigh going back to some small amount of running. It's just not worth it, in my opinion. And so that's my biggest encouragement. I know you asked about time management, but
that's a good suggestion.
But yeah, that's my biggest tip to any postpartum runner, is to do that first and let them guide you. Please don't self-clear yourself to run. See if you can see a women's health or a pelvic floor specialist, as they know exactly what they're doing, and they'll be able to assess your body better than you can.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, I mean, like, you know, if like, probably ladies listening, and, you know, you think if the doc says go for it, you like, I wouldn't have. I mean, if I was a lady and had a baby, hats off to all women for doing that. But like, I wouldn't imagine to even think of anything else. So it's interesting that you had that knowledge from study that actually led you to go, well, hang on, I better actually go and look at this thing, which is a bit of a worry, I suppose. You know, if that's not sort of if that is required, it's not being mentioned, because you would hate to think, I mean, any runner who loves running would hate to take time off probably, but then time off because of injury, you know, without knowing that it was coming, that could be a worry as well.
And it is the thing that you want to return to. It's, you know, you've had your baby, day 2, you're thinking about, when can I return to running? It's completely normal for any, mum who's had a baby. That's one of the things that you're so looking forward to. So it is difficult. then doing it very gradually and slowly. But I think the long-term benefit of doing it that way versus potentially pick up an injury early on, whether it be, you know, one to your pelvic floor, anywhere around your pelvis, you're at risk of stress fractures, just, you know, avoiding that, you know, far outweighs, you know, an earlier return to running. I just, yeah, that would be my biggest encouragement. And it's hard to say whether women are aware of it or not. I just, I knew it from, like you said, from studies, but I do wonder, I guess, how many GPs would push for it or suggest it, or I don't know. Yeah, that's actually difficult to say.
Yeah. And like, and so that's an interesting one. So you went on and became a physio, like, you know, yeah. And obviously have like an interest in the body and how it works and different things about that. So tell us a bit about what that's been like for you, being a physio.
And being a runner, or?
Well, if you like, but I mean, I'm intrigued about, you know, like the fact that you are a physio and perhaps, yeah, you know, the clients that you assist. And I said, like, talking with my coach, you know, when we were talking about seeing a physio, and he sort of said, well, look, if you can, and I suppose all physios are trained and whatever, but he was sort of saying, well, look, if you can, see one that's a runner, because it's helpful, because they'll actually understand, you know, this is running and these are the common injuries and these are the things that might help overcome those things. So yeah, you can certainly tie it in with running, but
being a physio, I think I'm going to disappoint you here, because I went into physio for not the two-legged variety human, but for the four-legged animals, was my ultimate goal. back in high school, I was weighing up three professions. I was weighing up medicine. I was weighing up a physio because I was really interested in kind of the rehab of people and animals. But then I was also weighing up veterinary science. And in the end, I knew in my gut and my heart that I wanted to help in a rehab kind of functional return to kind of function capacity, as opposed to medicine or veterinary science. And I think it was in my final year of high school that I learned about animal physiotherapy. And so for me, that just really struck a chord. It really became a dream. And ultimately, I went into physio with the goal of eventually working with animals in a in a rehabilitative context. And so did human physio in South Africa. It's a 4-year qualification with 1 more year afterwards where you work for the government, like in a public hospital. And then ended up practicing, because during my studies I then fell in love with pediatric physio, so kind of got a little bit swayed, and I ended up practicing as a pediatric physio for quite a while, for about 5-6 years, working in NICU, working in kind of acute hospital settings, as well as communities, kind of neurodevelopmental kind of therapy context as well. Did a little bit of that. But ultimately, it was just last year, it was just before I had my daughter, finally did the 2 years of postgrad study that got me my veterinary physiotherapy qualification to now work with animals. And yeah, dream come true at the age of, finally at the age of 34. But yeah, just kind of a lifelong dream come true, really, to do that. But I think, shortly qualified and then had my baby a month later. So hopefully
we'll
start practicing soon. Yes, hopefully we'll start practicing with animals at some point. But that's really kind of my physio journey.
Yeah, right. And, I mean, physio for animals, I didn't even know that was a thing. Honestly, I might be one of the most ignorant people on planet Earth. Like, things happen and I'm like, oh, that's a thing. And like, you know, sometimes I find out things are a thing and I'm like, well, of course. But up until I knew that, it just had not entered my realm. Getting the horse on a foam roller. Like, I mean, like, I know, like, that's not what's happening, but, you know, like, anyway.
No, quite difficult.
That's intriguing. Yeah, that's quite intriguing. And you were also telling me, like, you seem to have the hard work in spades. You seem to be able to set goals, and, you know, when you want something, it seems like you're going to make it happen. I mean, you don't go and finish these ultra runs. You don't run pregnant. You don't do all the stuff that you're doing without like a, you know, some sort of dialed in terrific mindset. So from your perspective, what do you think makes up a successful mindset?
Oh gosh, that's a big question. I don't know if it just comes down to, I think a lot comes down to my personality, personally for me. I think I'm a really stubborn person, that if I put my mind to something, I really want to see it to completion. Whether, you know, it's, you know, starting an ultra and not having the greatest day, but just, you know, getting your head down and just knowing that you're capable. And some days are going to be tougher than others, but I do believe, you know, from each experience, whether you have a great race or whether you have one that doesn't necessarily go to plan, you come away learning something from it in terms of learning as a runner, learning about yourself and what you're capable of. And, you know, that was a tough run, but I'm actually stronger than I thought I was. I got it done. For me, it does come down to, I think, quite a bit of stubbornness and wanting to finish things, even if it's going to take me longer than I expected. But I think it also comes down to the support network that's around you. I think my husband will come out and be the crew for me on the day. And I don't, it's not that I'm doing it for others, but I don't want to let other, you know, I don't want to let him down either. But it's also knowing that I have that support. So if I'm having a tough day, I can express, he can encourage. And I know that I have that behind me to also keep me going and motivate me. So that's something that's also really just keeps me going. I think a little bit of a side story. The first time I did my longest ultra, which was that first 100K that I did in Adelaide called the Hyson 105. I knew it was going to be tough on some sections, and my husband got my friends and family to, or he kind of collected messages from them or quotes or something encouraging or inspiring from them. And he'd see me every 10 or 15 Ks and he'd read me one. And I found that incredibly motivating. I remember on the day that really kept me going, because that ultra marathon didn't go to plan. It was 38 degrees in Adelaide, in South Australia. So it was a bit warm. And yeah, definitely struggle with the heat. I couldn't keep anything down. It was just, it was really tough going. But I remember that kind of mental encouragement that did, you know, as opposed to like anything physical, that was a real huge motivator on the day. But I hope that kind of answers the question, but yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting to think about 100K races, 105K race. Like it's such a long way. Like I haven't gone that far. 44 is my best, and everyone's probably going to be, you know, eager to hear me say a number longer than that. I certainly am at some point, but it's so such good. A long way. It's a long way. It's so far, like 105K. So, you know, out of all these races that you've done, and you think back to, you know, because you've done a fair few, do you have a favorite race?
I think probably my favorite 100K would be, I did it 2 years, 2017 would have been Race of the Stones 100K. It was my third 100K, so that's the last one that I've done. Third one, and the first two that I done, so I did one in Australia, two in Australia before. I did the Hyson 105 in 2015, and then the following year in 2016 I did the Ultra Trail 100K in the Blue Mountains, which is beautiful, but goodness me, so much elevation. They just kind of take you up and down the Blue Mountains, so they, you know, you go down into the gorge and then you just turn around and come straight back up, but an incredible route, but just a lot of climbing. And for me, both those 100Ks didn't go to plan. They were kind of disappointing. I got them done and I learned a lot, but they didn't go, I guess, how I wanted them to. And so I never necessarily start 100K going, oh, you know, I've got an A plan and it's got to go like this. There's so many unknowns on the day. It comes down to nutrition, comes down to weather, comes down to your gear, comes down to the route. It just, there's so many variables that you can't predict, I guess, how it goes. Not for me anyway. As like a normal runner, elite runners obviously have a you know, higher training, coaching. They've got so much more knowledge about these distances. But for me, it's just an average 100K runner, you know, diverting a bit. But that race, the 100K race of stones, just went really well. I didn't necessarily expect it to. I was hoping. But it was just a day that just went really – it was the first time 100K had gone smoothly for me. Started smiling, finished smiling, and just, yeah, loved it from start to finish. And to get to kilometer 99 and to still be running comfortably, I was just, yeah, in awe that my body could do that. And it was the first time that I'd comfortably finished 100K and really enjoyed it. But that stands out for me in terms of one of the ultra distances that I really just loved from start to finish.
Yeah, wow. So we start smiling, we finish smiling, and you're still running at 99K. Like that, yeah. That's beyond incredible to me. Like that's just like, whoa, so cool. Oh man, that's awesome. And it's nice to hear that you, you know, had such a good experience. You know, you mentioned actually before we came on here that you'd had an experience that, you know, the complete flip side, not being one that was so positive, but kind of defined, you know, some of those things with regards to, you know, your endurance life. So did you want to touch on that?
Oh, yeah, about the 2008 incident.
Yeah,
I'm happy to share in that it was, so I just qualified as a physio. It was the compulsory year that I'm doing, you know, for the South African government. You end up in often a very rural hospital, which I had been placed at in the Eastern Cape of South Africa. And it was my first Sunday there. So I'd literally been there for a few days. In summary, I'd stopped my car to look at like a baby donkey that had been crippled in the road, not knowing that it was potentially an intentional insult on the donkey, in that these five men were kind of hiding it behind the embankment. But long story short, they attacked me through my car window. They tried to take my car keys. They were obviously trying to take my car. It was a very planned attack, unfortunately. But the blessing in all of it is I managed to drive away. So I put foot, the key was still in the ignition. I put foot and managed to drive off. But sadly, as I drove off, one of them stabbed me in the chest. I didn't know. It was only afterwards, as I was driving, I could feel I couldn't breathe. I looked down and saw what, obviously through my studies, I knew it was a stab wound. I could feel it. And, but yeah, day kind of unfolded, kind of miracle after miracle. I was in the middle of nowhere. It's 3 hours to the closest town. It's dirt roads. I managed to drive a few Ks before passing out. Managed to call my friend who was at a nearby hospital. I say hospital, but it's a rural clinic, really. They were meant to be down at the beach where there's no cell phone reception. They were luckily running late, so I could get hold of her when I called her. And yeah, they immediately jumped into cars, started driving to come try find me. There was a family that drove past. They initially drove past. The wife said to her husband, "Something's not right. Let's turn around." They turn around. They said, "Are you okay?" I just kind of come to. They put me in their car. It was just, yeah, miracle upon miracle happened on the day. Got to the hospital. There's not normally blood. It was a Sunday morning. There's not normally blood available, but blood had been delivered early, so they could start transfusing me. There's not normally ambulances available. There was an ambulance available. I got put in that, 3 hour drive to the nearest big hospital, where again, on a Sunday morning afternoon, you would maybe expect like maybe younger doctors on call or registrars. Yet the head of cardiothoracics was there, the head of general surgery, and I was taken into theater and they literally saved my life. I had what you would call a thoracotomy, which is, just a general procedure on your thorax, on your through your rib cage, and yeah, say they literally saved my life. The knife had unfortunately gone through my right lung, had completely transected a major artery, and had nicked into my heart, so pierced through the pericardium, which surrounds your heart. And yeah, they definitely reminded me afterwards that I was very, very lucky to be here. So
holy, like, look at that chain of events. Just like, I'm so sorry that you had to go through that, but then at the same time, like, you know, like the things that fall into place. And what's even crazier to think, like, all of those little miracles that happened, you know, I'm so grateful that they did, but to think that, you know, when, like, it's just very deep, and maybe it's too deep, but just to think that, like, you know, your friend running late for the beach, like, when you're running late for something, you think, oh gosh, why are we running late? But maybe that's because 50 other chain reactions are also going on so that somebody's life can be saved at a hospital. You can't even fathom, you know, all the things that had to happen for that to happen. Like, wow. And so that sparked, like, you know, the running thing as well.
Yeah, I think just my really deep appreciation for it. I think what kind of followed on that was early 2008. So that was the 6th of January 2008. A couple of years after that, I think, being a runner before and doing athletics and cross country competitively when I was younger, you know, it's something that I potentially wanted to go back to. But I remember those first few years after that, you know, definitely in the first 2 years afterwards, I couldn't run for a few hundred meters at a time. And I did very much question what kind of sport would my body be able to return to. So luckily, I actually returned to another passion of mine, being a horse rider from a young age, that kind of links to the love of animals. And I started going back to that, and that was incredibly therapeutic. That was healing in itself, you know, just having a horse and be able to ride, and just that definitely helped. And that eventually got me to 2012, where I decided to sign up for my first half marathon and, you know, complete that with a friend. And that sparked the start of where I'm at now. But yeah, not trying to sound too cheesy or too deep, but honestly, every time I do line up for a marathon or an ultra marathon, I do, not always, but often, think back and just have immense gratitude that I can run these distances. I'm not doing them in, like, remarkable times. I'm, you know, kind of middle of the pack, but my body's letting me do them. And I'm, yeah, really, really just grateful that I can. So, yeah, not sounding too cheesy, but that's what it's about for me, really.
Yeah, geez. I mean, you know, like, it's interesting how running can help, and it's interesting how having running as a stable thing can carry us through, and it's also, you know, can be scary, but it also can be, you know, something to have a lot of gratitude about, is that you don't know what could happen that could stop you from being able to enjoy any, just life, I suppose, in general, let alone running. So it sounds to me like you have a real attitude of gratitude.
Yeah. Not always. There's definitely moments where I don't, I get frustrated and I'm like, beat myself up, and I'm not, you know, appreciative of just that my body can still run and can do these events and participate. But overall, I try to, you know, think back that that I can do this, and there's a lot to be grateful for in that.
Yeah, and like, doing all of these big events and long runs and, you know, just crazy, like 99K and still running strong, like that's just, you might as well be in a Wonder Woman cape, you know, like that's kind of cool. But do you have any, like, recovery tips, or, like, you know, you must be training a bit, and then after these events, like, how do you sort of keep your body all together? Because I know that, like, even for my 44, like that even now, like, I did a run this week, and my hips during that run were, like, so tight and sore. I've been seeing the physio, but, like, I went for a 30-minute run on the treadmill, and if the last 2 days my hips have just been so sore, and it's weeks after the event, you know, like, so it's interesting to think that your body can still carry a little bit of whatever, you know, misery, pain, after effects. But any recovery tips?
I think it all comes down to the person, really. It comes down also to the event, and the training leading up to it. And then, I'm a big believer, through learning and through making mistakes and getting back to it too quickly, you know, after a big race. But recovery is huge. It's just, you know, so many people will say it, that recovery is just as crucial and fundamental within a training block as, you know, your tempo runs or your speed training or your long distance runs. You know, recovery is a fundamental part of that as well. And, you know, much the same afterwards. For me, I would say with a 10-month-old baby, I'm definitely not training to the amount I was doing before. And that's more than fair. And I'm more than content with that. And I'm still taking my time in getting back to kind of the mileage I was doing before being pregnant. But yeah, I'm a big believer in listening to your body and taking time out afterwards. Everybody does it a bit differently. But as a physio, huge fan in kind of like ice baths, foam rolling afterwards. I also have a NMES machine, a neuromuscular stim that has different settings for like muscle recovery. It depends on the race and it depends on the distance, but definitely the longer the distance, the longer the recovery for me. Neuromuscular electrical stimulation. It's just like a little, it almost looks like a little TENS machine.
I just got one of those from the physio. You put little pads on you and then it's just like slowly works away. And if you, you know, try not to be too, I was like, oh, I wonder what this button does and turns it up. And all of a sudden my muscles are like jumping off. So that was interesting. They're cool, aren't they? Like, so that just sort of, by the sounds of things, just goes away to work, mixing up the little pain signals or something that comes from the muscles.
Oh, the TENS machine does. That's a transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation. So that's more about stimulating your pain sensory nerve endings and modulating, you know, kind of like the your pain gait cycle and your interpretation of pain signals. So it's even something that pregnant women use in labor. They'll let you hire a TENS machine. I wouldn't say they're as effective on me, so I didn't bother using one during my labor. You can use that. And then otherwise, what I've got is more like a muscular neurostimulator. It's set on different frequencies and a different kind of cycle. But yeah, you situate the pads on specific points along the muscle, and then you kind of flick it on and use it in these preset programs. When I'm lazy and don't feel like figuring it out, I just put it on one of those and just put, you know, more for muscle recovery and just let it go for about 60 minutes. But there's much more high tech equipment out there that a lot of elite athletes will use that I obviously don't have. But I'll just use that in a good mixture of ice baths, salt recovery baths. Those are great as well. So do a mixture of that, really.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, I had an Epsom salt.
Epsom salt bath. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and it's just amazing. Like, I mean, I don't know if it's just having a bath, actually just stopping and relaxing in water for warm water for a period of time. Like, that's not something I tend to do ever. So that's nice. But you certainly feel better after getting out of the water. Because I mean, I remember hopping into that the next day, and I was like, everything hurt, and then after hopping out, I was like, actually everything hurts much less right now. I'm a believer in the old Epsom salt.
Simple heat and cold, really simple therapies that, you know, are accessible to anybody. They make a huge difference.
Some of these things, people hop in those machines and it's like neck down freezer. Or cryo, some of the elite athletes, and you see what they're doing, and you're like, wow, look at these machines that people are hopping into. So that's some cool tips. Any tips for, say, would you have three tips for people that are looking to get into endurance activities? I mean, you know, they might be sitting on the couch, and you know, you've done it all, like you're really able to run some really long distances now. So from your perspective, with your learnings, any tips, three tips for beginners?
You're making me, I'm not by no means a pro at all. I've just done a few, but, and so there'll be people out there that have got much better tips than mine. I think for me, it was a gradual build up with the distances. So, some people would jump from like a smaller distance to a bigger distance, and that's completely doable, and you know, complete hats off to them. For me, it was a gradual build up of the distance. I went up to the marathon. I think I'd done 5 marathons over 2 years before I then did the 56K trail ultra. And so it was just about gradually building up to that distance that made it more feasible and realistic, and I had confidence that I could finish it. But tips wise, I think for a first ultra to pick one, you know, it goes without saying, but an easier route. So if the distance is daunting, picking something maybe a bit more flatter and more manageable, maybe something that has good pit stops and support along the route, you know, that breaks the distance down. That definitely helps make it more manageable, because, you know, say an X amount of kilometers, there'll be the next pit stop, and then you work your way and run, walk to the next one. So picking a well-supported and well-organized ultra, is only encouraging and will help you have a good experience. It still will be tough as ultras are, but definitely makes it more manageable. I think if you can find, you know, a running buddy to do some of these longer training runs with, that definitely helps pass the time. It, you know, you can motivate each other to cover some of the bigger distances, and then I also like running along the route as well. So for example, like there was Race to the Tower recently, which goes along the Cotswold Way. And so some of my longer runs I did along the route just to familiarize myself with the route, and ended up seeing some of the climbs and some of the bigger hills, which is maybe not so nice, because then it's sometimes better to be naive and not know about it, but it just helps you get prepared for the day mentally and physically, and running along the route, just that familiarity with parts of it make you feel a bit more comfortable going, oh, I've done this section and I know what it's like. And
that's a good tip. That's a good tip, actually. Like I feel like my first trail run, 22K, and it just felt like up, all the way up, and then more up, and then how can any trail be this steep and more up? And then we're like, oh yes, a flat 100 meters. Then down, just crazily down, and then that was it. That was once it was down, all you get now is up. That's it. All we're going to be doing. And I wasn't ready for that at all. Like, you know, you turn the corner and you're like, maybe this will be up. And then what about around this corner? Get more up. And like, you know, like, of course, we're going up a mountain. But, you know, I think having that mental, you know, well, maybe it could be more daunting, but knowing, I guess, what's to expect. Because I, you know, being a rookie, like I'm looking at those little course maps and I see that it's like there's little ups and downs, like a little heart rate monitor thing. Like, okay. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know what that means. It's only an inch on the page. I mean, like, you know, what's that? But then, like you said, some of these races.
Yeah, on the day feels like Mount Everest,
It does. And I'm thinking, oh, God, where are those? You know, just when you're so tired, it feels so steep that you want those in my head, I'm imagining like those Everest hikers with those snow hooks in their hands, and they're like digging the ground in front of them. Like that's how it felt to me. Like I'm on a ladder, just climbing up some steep thing. But some good tips there. I do like that. Yeah. And you know, quite the journey you've had, and quite an inspirational lady. You know, I really am very grateful that you've taken the time to catch up and share a bit of your story. But for people wanting to follow along and you know, see what you're up to and watch what you're doing, did you have some social media handles that you'd like to share?
I've really just got Instagram at the moment, and that's Anna Runs Marathons. If people want to follow along there, that'd be lovely. I love seeing other people's journeys on Instagram and following them along, and try to share openly and honestly. And I think for me, it's very much about postpartum running at the moment and what I'm learning and mistakes and the good things that I'm getting from it. And I just try to share about that really. But when I have time, I try to post. I definitely, with a 10-month-old, I don't When I can, I'll put some photos up, but it's just about juggling it at the moment. And there's definitely some sleep deprived days where I couldn't be bothered with social media, unfortunately, but I do try share when I can, just about where I'm at running now and motherhood and all of that.
Well, you're super humble, you're super real. I certainly enjoy seeing the pictures come through. And, you know, it'll just be good just to keep following along on your journey and watching what you get up to, because it is incredibly inspiring, even though you, like, call yourself an average ultra runner. You're knocking out 100K races, like, do you know what I mean? That's still a dream for me. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing. It really is incredibly inspiring.
Oh, thanks so much, Tom. That's, really, really encouraging. Thank you.